If you get to thinking and thanking about what we do have, we'll forget a lot about what we don't have. If you would turn in your Bible to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua's the sixth book of the Bible. And I want to spend some time on talking about praying big prayers. Praying big prayers. When you look at this particular passage, this is a situation, and Joshua and the children of Israel had just made a blunder by, in chapter 9, they had made a league with the Gibeonites, which they were not supposed to do, but the Gibeonites tricked them into making them think that they were from a far country. And where Joshua messed up on that is the same place he messed up when in chapter 7, dealing with Ai. Because what did he do? He did not seek counsel of the Lord. He didn't ask the Lord's permission. I'm going to tell you, you and I will get into big trouble if we don't ask God's help to make decisions.
Amen.
That's where we need to go. And if he doesn't give you an answer, don't make a decision. Okay? When in doubt, wait it out. Amen. That's the key. But here, Joshua, he messed up and made a league with the Israelites, made a league with the Gibeonites. And now they made the league to a point where they were going to protect the name of God. And the Gibeonites used the Israelites' God's name in the vow to make sure that it was solid and they wouldn't go back on it. And so the Gibeonites here, they're being attacked. They got upset. The Amorites got upset. And because the Gibeonites made a league with the Israelites, and five kings of the Amorites are coming against the Gibeonites, and the Gibeonites send to Joshua and saying, "Hey, we need help. We need help." Now, had they not made the league with Israel, they wouldn't have gotten any help. But they made a vow based on God and His name, and they had to honor it, even though they weren't really excited about honoring it. Sometimes we make a vow and we're not excited about keeping that vow. I remember a preacher one time, and he said he went to after he graduated from Bible college, he went to a Christian school, and he told them they hired him, and he said, I'll stay a year. And about a month into that, he knew he had made a mistake. But he told them he would stay for a year. And guess what he did? He kept his word. Make sure you keep your word.
Right.
Bible says, "Don't if you're not going to keep a vow, don't make it." That's Brianology, but it's a paraphrase. But the truth is, that's what the children of Israel had done. They had made a league with the Gibeonites. Now here in where we're starting is talking about the Amorite kings. Let's stand and honor the word of God. It says, verse 5, it says, "Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. And Lord, I just thank you for this blessed event that took place. There's no doubt in my mind that it actually happened. It actually happened the way the Bible describes it. And Lord, we just ask you to let your Holy Spirit drive it home for us tonight. Lord, we need to hear from him and not this preacher. Lord, we need to hear from you and your word. And Lord, just get this preacher out of the way. Lord, we want you. You've got some blessings in this message for each one of us. And Lord, if the preacher gets in the way, it's going to mess it all up. So Lord, please keep the preacher out of the way. And let us hear clearly from the real preacher, the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, let us learn what you have for us tonight. For it's in that holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and one of the things where I would be tempted, and this is where the flesh gets in, by the way, is we would be tempted to say, okay, just wipe them out. We made the league with them, but we didn't necessarily say we were going to keep track of them and take care of them and babysit them. That'd be one way to get out of the vow, right? Except for the fact that they made a vow in God's name. And as much as they disliked the fact that they made the vow, what they did is they honored that vow. And so the children of Israel went up. I like what God said in verse 8. It says, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Think about that. Now I want you to, that word delivered is past tense. But at this time they had not been defeated by the children of Israel. You know what God says when you call on Jesus? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's past tense. It's done. You can't change it. When God says this right here to Joshua, he's saying, for I have delivered them into thine hand. They're as good as yours. Think about it. Hey, we don't have to worry about fighting battles a lot of times. A lot of times the battle's already won.
Amen.
God's already told the devil, hey, my children come against you, and they do it by the book. Guess what? You can't win, devil.
Right.
Where we mess up a lot of times is we don't go by the book. So I'm going to give you four things that I see here in this particular passage. Number one, seeking counsel. Now this time God spoke up. He didn't wait for Joshua to call on him. Number one, seek counsel. And the Bible says, fear them not. God said, don't worry about these guys. One of the things that you and I have a tendency to do is whenever things change, when things are going bad, when we don't understand what's going on, we have a tendency to fear. And truly, you know, that's human nature. That's our nature to be fearful, especially when things change. When you go to the doctor and they say, there's something there, I'm not sure what it is. Guess what happens? Fear level goes way up. When you see that you've got a bill that comes in the mail and you're not expecting and you don't know where it come from and they're saying you owe this much money and it's a whole lot more than what you can pay, guess what? The fear level goes up. But God says what? Fear them not. So number one, he says, we're wanting to make sure that we seek counsel. Now, if you don't hear from the Lord, you seek him. But Joshua didn't have to seek him because the Lord spoke up. He didn't wait for Joshua to mess up again. like he did in the chapter 7 and chapter 9. But it says, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now, I'd like to see how that worked, okay? When they're coming up, they can't even stand before them. They fall as they're being approached by the army. That's what it says.
Right.
I believe in an every word Bible, right? Every word's not only where it's supposed to be, but it says what it's supposed to say.
Right.
And we don't have to read into it things that aren't there. It says what it's supposed to say.
Right.
And God said they're not going to even be able to stand before you. I don't know whether God strikes them dead or how that works, or we know that he can cause the ground to cave out from under them. He did that in Numbers with Korah. But it says, don't worry. So, number one, it says, seek counsel. Number two, stay courageous. We're supposed to be courageous Christians.
Amen.
Not weasels, not wimps. I say, oh Lord, look at what's going on. Oh my goodness, I can't handle this. And he's saying, suck it up, buttercup. I got this. I'll take care of it. Don't fret over it. You're making me look bad by being a weasel. That's what he's saying. Now, he might not say those words, but basically that's what he's trying to tell us, because he wants us to realize he's got it all taken care of. Even though we don't see it yet. Joshua didn't see that they were delivered into his hand yet. But God said, it's already done. Already took care of. I've got it. But I like these next two points. Let's read the next few verses. Verse 9 says, Joshua therefore came up unto them suddenly and went up. Came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and to Makkedah. Look at verse 11. I love this. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more that which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now we know why they couldn't stand. Those big hailstones were God. Hey, I want you to understand, God's excited because Israel's obeying him and they're fighting the devil's crowd and they're fighting for him. And all of a sudden, Lord says, I can't stand this. I want to get involved. I'm going to help. And so he gets these hailstones and started throwing the hailstones. And it says that the hailstones that came down on the Amorites killed more than Joshua's army. Think about that. That's crazy. No, that's our God.
Right.
He can do things like that. He can do anything he wants to. But I want you to get this. He had to have pretty good aim, right?
Yeah.
Because he's hitting the Amorites, but he's not hitting the Israelites.
Yeah.
We were in North Carolina one time. Sharon just happened to be driving. She doesn't drive much on those trips, but she just happened to be driving. And we were at a particular time, we saw a bad storm coming, and it looked like down the road we could see the hail dropping, bouncing. And all we could think of, oh no, we're in a bad situation. She had the presence of mind to find one of those do-it-yourself car washes and drove right inside and protected the car. I mean, hey, I don't know whether God had some car washes there for the Israelites or what, but the truth is, hey, they were protected.
Right.
We didn't get one ding on the car, by the way. But I want you to get this. God got excited over the children of Israel, and they were victorious, and they were winning. And so what happened was God said, I'm going to get involved. I want to get part of this. I want you to get this. When you're fighting the battles that the Lord wants you to fight, you're not fighting alone. You're not fighting alone. He's going to be right there. He's going to fight right beside you. He's the reason the devil's crowd cannot stand before us. He's the reason that we're going to be victorious on the other side. All he's wanting us to do is to do our part. He's going to do the majority of it, right? That's what it said there. He took care of most of them. But there's another aspect to this too. And I called it, and I've titled this message, Praying Big Prayers, because Joshua's got a big prayer coming up. And he was getting ready to lose the daylight. And look at what it says in verse 12. And it says, Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And what was it? Seek counsel. Stay courageous. Stones cast. And suspended cosmos. God stopped the orbits of the entire solar system because Joshua prayed for it. Hey, you know what? Now I know it, you and I know a little bit more about the astronomy, but what we know is the fact we know a little bit more than Joshua did. He said, "Sun, stand still." They thought the sun moved around the earth. God knew what he meant. Okay? Sometimes we'll pray prayers and we'll say things wrong. God knows what you mean.
Right.
Hold your place here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. This is where I go a lot of times to let people know that speaking in tongues stuff is just stuff. Look at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. People are talking about praying in tongues, and they say, well, I'm praying in tongues so the devil can't hear me. The Holy Spirit can utter those things that you and I can't even utter, can't even verbalize. Joshua prayed a prayer, and we know that the sun is stationary, and the planets, the earth goes around the sun. We know that. Joshua didn't know that. But he prayed a prayer, and God said, okay, I know what you mean. I'll take care of it. And for almost a full day, what do you think the Amorites were thinking? Won't the sun go down? Good grief. It's been 20 hours and the sun's still up. Hey, guess what? And they, by the way, they weren't in Alaska. Alaska has some of those midnight daylight type things. But anyway, but I want you to get this in the fact that Joshua knew he had a big God. And when you realize that you've got a big God, you can expect to have big prayers answered. Amen. And the bigger we think our God is, then the greater our vision of who He is and what He can do, the more we'll expect in our prayers. But also, the more our faith will grow. Hold your place here and go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What's He able to do? Exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. He can do more than we can imagine. There's a video. I've been teaching the Christian evidences at the college, what a lot of churches or colleges call apologetics. And it's just basically, how do you know what you believe is true? How do you know the Bible's true? And I was watching this. I was telling a little bit to Brother Myron yesterday. I was watching this video we've got called Incredible Creatures That Defy Evolution. And a mussel that is in the river, for it to spawn and to the babies to hatch and to grow, it opens up the shell a little bit. And what it does is it has a little attachment that looks like a minnow in distress. And what it does is it wiggles that attachment so that it catches a fish's attention. And then as it's wiggling, the fish comes up close, and just at the right time, as he's getting ready, the fish is getting ready to take the minnow, that's when the mussel shoots the eggs in the mouth of the fish. And the little eggs have to attach to the gills of the fish. Now this gets even more complicated because this mussel has to know which type of fish to shoot its eggs in. Certain types are for the trout, certain types are for the bass, and it's complicated. But I want you to get this in the fact that those eggs live inside of that fish for about 6 weeks until they latch on and they start drawing blood off of the fish in the gills. It's an amazing thing. I want you to get this. There's so much about our God that we have no clue about. And nothing, absolutely nothing, escapes His attention. Joshua was praying a prayer. He was praying a big prayer. He wanted to win this battle. He knew that God had already told him they're not going to be able to stand before Him, but He did not want to give them a chance to regroup and have to fight again. He wanted to get the battle done. So he prayed a big prayer. And what happened? God answered that big prayer. Now, don't you think they got tired? I mean, get this now. They had traveled all night. just to get there. Then they're fighting all day, and then God gives them another day to fight. Hey, they had to get tired. I get tired if I miss my nap. The older I get, the more I need it. But the truth is, I can't imagine being up all night traveling and then fighting all day and fighting another day without stopping. God had to help them with the strength as well. And He helps you and I with our strength.
Amen.
Because there's nothing, like I said before, there's nothing that escapes His attention. He knows what we need. He knows the struggles we face. He knows and He cares. We're His children, right? We get saved. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my youngins. And there's nothing He wouldn't do for His. And what we've got to do is to remember. A lot of times we end up struggling because we don't pray big enough prayers. We pray these little refrigerator note prayers. And God says, you're insulting me. You realize sometimes we can insult the Lord just by how little we ask for? When he's got storerooms of blessings He wants to give us. When He's got victories that we'll never be able to receive because we're not praying enough. We're not praying big enough. But I know the fact that there's nothing that we can ask Him to do that He can't do. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Just think on that a while. That'll cause you to blow a fuse and slip a gear. Because, hey, we just haven't even scratched the surface of how great our God is. But I sure am glad I'm on His side.
Amen.
When I got saved, when I called on Jesus that day, and I asked Him, I said, Lord, you're not getting much when you get me. But Lord, I need You. Please forgive me and save me. He didn't get much, but I got everything. I got it all. Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 7, it says, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I shall be his God, and he shall be my son. When I got saved, I got it all. When you got saved, you got it all.
Amen.
And a lot of times we act like we're losers. God help us when we act that way. God help us because we have the victory. That's why we got this sign up here to remind us we've got victory in Jesus. Now, if you take Jesus off, you don't have victory.
Right.
You got defeat. But we've got victory in Jesus.
Right.
Joshua, he prayed a big prayer. He got a big prayer answered. I'm going to tell you, I really believe that a lot of times we insult the Lord with our itty-bitty prayers. And we're not asking for the big stuff. And the Lord's saying, you're asking for this? How am I going to get glory in answering that itty-bitty prayer? But when He gives the only independent Baptist church in Bartow a kingdom hall, now you can get a little bit of glory. And I mean, that night, that Wednesday night, we prayed and talked to the Lord. And then we made the decision, Lord, we're going to follow this as far as You'll let us go. And I made this statement, if it happens, I'm not saying it will happen, but if it happens, all the glory goes to Jesus.
Amen.
And that was the key. He just wanted some glory. Ask some big prayers. We need some more Sunday school teachers. We need a teen Sunday school teacher. You say, well, you don't have any teenagers. Hey, we've got some that are close. We've got some that are close. And we need some teachers if we're going to grow. And these kids, now these are elementary age looking kids. I may try to find a picture of some teenagers. But guess what? We got to reach them all. From the cradle to the grave. We got to reach them all. But I'm glad that what I asked my God for, he's not saying, well, Brian, you've asked too much. I just can't do that. He'll never say anything silly like that. That's not my God. Now, Buddha will say that if he could talk. But anyway, the truth is, what are your prayers? Have you got some big prayers? I'm talking about some huge prayers. Prayers that just seem like they're totally impossible. Like stopping the solar system. That's what God does. He likes to shine on those big prayers. Why? Because there's no other explanation on it happening other than Him and His power and letting people know who He is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for Your blessings. And Lord, I thank You for Joshua, and what a blessing it is to know that we've got a God a whole lot bigger than any of our problems, a whole lot bigger than our prayers. But Lord, we want to ask You some big prayers. We want You to get some glory. This world doesn't see much in the way of big prayers being answered. Lord, right now we've got a big problem in our country. We've got a big problem with the election. Lord, we've got a big problem with a lot of young people that have been taught wrong, thinking socialism is acceptable, that it'll actually work, which it won't. Lord, we ask You to move in a special way. And as we ask these big prayers, some of us are praying for people to get saved. People that sometimes are far away from us. We don't get a chance to see them much. But Lord, the most important thing is we want to make sure that we give You an opportunity to get glory by answering our prayers. Thank You, Father, for loving us. Use the invitation for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.